listening to Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. We're in the book of Genesis right now, around Genesis chapter 27 and verse 36. If you've got your e-sword out, you can follow along with me, and that's a good idea. If you haven't got your e-sword, you can go over to e-sword.net, download the program. And with that, you get the authorized King James Version Bible and the Greek and Hebrew concordance comes with it with pronunciations. When you mouse over a word, you'll see each word has a Greek or a Hebrew number. And when you mouse over that number next to a word or a phrase, up pops a little window with the Strong's Hebrew definition pronunciation. In it. And also you can do some wonderful searches. You can search a Hebrew or a Greek word in the Bible by highlighting the number, hitting the little binoculars above the window, and it will, and then you hit the search button. You highlight the word or the number first, and that way it automatically pastes it into the search window when you hit the binoculars. And then you hit the button, the search button, you can find out every occurrence of that Hebrew or original Greek word, and you can see how the word was translated into the English and get a better understanding of the how a Hebrew or Greek word was translated. Or you can search a phrase or an English word, and you can search that way and find every occurrence. And so it's a wonderful study tool. One that, you know, I would not want to be without. I mean, I have an old Young's and an old Strong's, you know, the big book. And I had my King James Bible next to it. And, well, those were great study tools before I got a computer. You know, I'm talking back in the early 80s now and 70s. And when I got those books so that I could research and search, you know, through using those big concordances, but it was difficult. And it just, now it's easy, you know, because, as I tell everyone, that the King James Bible, though I believe it is the best English translation that we have, the truth is, you know, because I like to speak the truth, no matter who doesn't like it, I'm not going to bend my view of what the truth is according to anyone else's opinion. The King James Version of the Bible is a translation. As a matter of fact, all of these English versions are not really versions of the Bible, but they're translations of the Bible. So calling them versions is, you know, kind of misleading. But they are different translations of the Bible. And the reason that I believe that the King James Version is the best English translation of the Bible is because it is tied to the Greek and the Hebrew, which brings in the Hebrew Masoretic text, the original language from the original manuscripts, and then the Textus Receptus in the Greek. So actually, when we look at these little windows at the words, we're looking at the original language dating back, you know, the Old Testament before Christ with the Dead Sea Scrolls, which confirm that the text that we had that was after the Dead Sea Scrolls confirms that they were true, that there were no changes, that they faithfully, the scribes faithfully copied word by word, letter by letter, the Hebrew Bible throughout the generations, so that we can be assured that we have a true copy of the Word of God. And then we have the Greek, and we can look at that too. And then the Greek is a little different than the Hebrew. We're getting, you know, we're going back, but is it the original language? Did they pen it in Greek? I don't know. But it's a little different because sometimes we have to look at the Greek and we see things like iesos or theos, and we know that these aren't terms that the Hebrews use. So we still have to translate a little bit more. We have to translate it back to the Hebrew. So where it says the Lord, we know we're talking about Yahuwah, the creator. And then that's different from Jesus, where it says Jesus, we're talking about Yahushua, the Hebrew name of the creator as a man, the son of God. So there's a measure of common sense that we have when we look at these things. So common sense tells me that the King James Bible is not the Word of God, but it is a translation of the Word of God, and that we have the words that it was translated from here. So do get your e-sword.net, your e-sword, on your computer, and it will ramp up your Bible study a few notches. So we left off Genesis 27, verse 36, and his brother came with subtlety, took away his blessing, and he said, now we have Esau, is not he rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. He supplanted, took the place of, took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, thou hast not reserved a blessing for me, he says to his father. Well, did Jacob take away anything? Well, Esau despised the birthright, and the blessing was for the firstborn. That's what he took. The birthright was for the firstborn. So he says, take my blessing. Have you not reserved a blessing for me, father? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now for thee, unto thee, my son? And Esau said to his father, thou hast but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. You know, and it says in the New Testament that Esau wept bitterly, yet no place was found for repentance. And the determination in the New Testament is that Esau I have hated, and Jacob I have loved. Esau was a good guy, apparently. Everybody loved Esau. You know, everyone knows someone like Esau. So why would the Heavenly Father say, Esau I have hated, Jacob I have loved? What was the difference between these two men? Esau despised the things of God. They weren't important to him. Obedience to his father, obedience to the commandments, the things, the spiritual things, he wasn't interested in. They weren't important to him. That's the difference. But though he wept bitterly, there was no place found for repentance. He wasn't going, oh, now I see the error of my way. I repent. You know, help me to follow in your ways. Help teach me, you know, change my heart and make those things which are important to you, Heavenly Father, make them important to me. None of that. No repentance. Yes, he wept bitterly, but what did he weep over? He wept over his loss. He wept over things. That's all he was looking at the blessing for, is what he would get out of it. And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered, said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shall thou live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when you shall have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. And now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury is turned away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou have done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, the house of Bethuel, my mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. And Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take a wife from thence. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. You know, now, of course, Esau had already taken two wives of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, and the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba. So Esau goes and takes a daughter of Ishmael to be his wife too. And he lighted upon, so Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them there for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, Yahuwah stood above it and said, I am Yahuwah, thy God. I am Yahuwah, God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither you go. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely Yahuwah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob arose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment and clothing to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yahuwah be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. So he makes a vow of a tithe. He's going to give a tenth into the hand of Yahuwah. And of course, to do with whatever the Lord tells him to do with. But he says here, and I like this, he talks about, if you will keep me, if you will give me bread, if you will clothe me. So he's saying, I'm going to look to you to take care of me. And that reminds me of some of the things that Yahshua said. He said, give us this day our daily bread. If you give me bread, you give me clothing. He said, don't be careful for nothing. You know, he said, for the day The evil of the day is sufficient. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the evil of today is sufficient. The struggle, the tribulation that we have today is sufficient for today. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You know, and what do people worry about today? That's what they teach in the world. They raise you up in their public school system, in the government schools. You know, the government is your daddy. That's why they destroy the family, so they can have the children. They consider your children the children of the state. They think that you belong to them. I heard one of the legislators in California addressing the legislature, and it was quoted as saying, our children. And it's talking about the children of California. Your children. My children. Everybody's children. The children of the residents, the things that are identified with the state of California, the people. Yeah, they consider you things, human resources. Residents, things identified with the state of California or of the state of California. And so they said, for our children, they were talking about mandatory health care for everyone in California. And they said, our children, well, they can mandatory all they want. I'm not taking part in their system because I have another provider. And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So, you know, think about that. So that was written in Greek, and it says the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So who is his? Well, wouldn't that be the creator himself, the heavenly father? So seek ye first the kingdom of our heavenly father. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahuwah and his righteousness. And all these things, and now these things he's referring to are, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to live? What am I going to drive? How am I going to pay my gas bill, my electric bill? How am I going to put gas in my car? How am I going to pay for my health care? All these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah, many of you have been listening to me before, and you've heard this all before, but you know what? I can't say it enough, and you can't hear it enough, because this is about building up our faith and walking the walk. You know, like I always say, the Messiah, my master, he preached. I'm not greater than my master. I'm not going to preach a different message than he preached. He preached. He began his ministry, and he said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our heavenly father, is at hand. And he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. So he's talking about the kingdom of our heavenly father. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. You know, if we live by his law, even the dietary laws, and we use a little common sense, like supplementing, that why should we suffer? You know, I think people suffer because they listen to men, because they put their trust in men. People put their trust in the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Well, if the government says it's okay, it must be okay. And therefore, I can eat margarine, because isn't it called health food? Fat, low fat, and, you know, all these fads and stuff that go on. And we now find out that the whole low fat fad was death. It's a killer. You know, margarine, and then they put this shortening, this hydrolyzed vegetable oil in everything. And it's a killer, man. You know, it causes Alzheimer's because now you're lacking the essential. Notice the word essential now. Essential fatty acids that you're lacking because you've been on a low fat diet because you've listened to men. You know, and when they came out with that stuff and the margarine was the big fad, and I thought to myself, I said, well, God didn't make margarine. What is this? This is some man-made fabrication. But I know that our Heavenly Father made butter. I mean, it's a natural thing. This margarine stuff, this hydrolyzed vegetable oil, it's not natural. It appears nowhere in nature. This is something that man made, and I don't trust man. when it comes to what I'm going to put in my mouth. I think I'm going to trust the foods that our Heavenly Father created and to be received with thanksgiving by those who know and believe the truth, that are sanctified by His word and prayer. That's what I believe. I believe His word. And I believe that we don't need health insurance. Now, for trauma, yes. If I got in an accident, I get hit by a car in a car accident and I broke a few bones or got jabbed through my gut with something, yes. I believe in medicine for trauma. I would want to be treated. I want my bones set. If I have some traumatic event in my life where I get injured, I want to be fixed. I think that's a good thing. But as far as ongoing health care, I'm going to trust in His word, and I'm going to live to the best of my ability. Now, yes, you could get poisoned. You could be injured. There are things, there are outside influences that can affect your life and your health. So you have to use a lot of wisdom, but I think a lot of wisdom there is to live according to His word, to adopt the dietary law, to use some common sense and say, well, you know, God made it or He didn't make it. Now, come on. And we know, and just, you know, wash yourself in good information. Listen to dead doctors. Don't lie like I have for the last 10 years. It's shaped my life. It's shaped my dietary habits. My dietary habits have continued to change over the last 15 years. And it takes discipline too. You cannot be a man driven by appetite and expect to remain healthy. You have to discipline your appetite rather than allowing your appetite to shape you. So, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and He will add everything. All these things will be added to you. And, you know, that's a really good deal. What a good deal. You can seek the things, and you may or may not get them, but you certainly will become a slave for them, whether you get them or not. You may have to mortgage or sell your soul for the things. But the good deal is, if you seek first His kingdom, you don't have to worry about the things. Just seek to do what's right in His life, in His eyes. Live, choose to live a life of obedience by faith. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, is to choose by faith to live a life of obedience. And then He takes care of everything else, and you can rest in Him. See you next time on Cross the Border.